Well, welcome everybody. We're back from our time of Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a blessed Thanksgiving. So we're going to pick back up on looking at women. And tonight I think we're going to look at three women. Anna, who's in Luke chapter 2, Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, and Ruth, which of course is the book of Ruth. And before we even read these or talk about these three women, all of whom were godly women, one thing I want you to realize is each of these were in circumstances that most of us would sink in and complain about. Anna was 84. She had been married, and 7 years into her marriage, her husband died. So she spent most of those 84 years, or two-thirds of them, say, a good portion of them, as a widow. And we'll look and see how she spent those years. Abigail, as most of us know, was married to a very stubborn, vain, hateful man, and yet served God. And Ruth wasn't even an Israelite. But she chose the God of Israel under circumstances where she was a widow. The family she chose in the natural was a mother-in-law who had lost her husband and both of her sons and was left with but one of the daughter-in-laws and was down in the mouth and bitter about it. And each of these women, if you look at what they did and how they spent their lives, you'd think, wow, isn't that cool? But if you looked at their lives, you would think maybe, wow, that isn't cool. And yet, their choice of service to God is really a testimony of what it is about, and it transcends the experience, as we will see when we look at these three women. The one thing to take note of is Anna, Abigail, and Ruth, the three we were going to look at tonight and will continue on next week, were all women that weren't in good circumstances if you wanted to look at it in the natural. And yet, we want to see what their choices were because it really does undermine then any excuse we have for not being all that the Lord would call us to be in our service to Him. And each one of these women were servants. Both Abigail and Ruth called themselves handmaidens, which is a bond slave. It's a position of slavery, a female slave. Anna does not make that well, she doesn't speak. It's really a third-hand account, and yet she was a servant of God, and you're going to see that because it says she served God. And so each of these people in situations that most of us let us stop us from moving forward and being servants of God chose otherwise. So, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 22.
And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
So Karen read that whole section. This was when they brought Jesus in to dedicate him, to present him, it says, to the Lord. And I wanted her to read the words of Simeon, because the testimony here of Anna is that she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. So in a similar manner as Simeon had just done. But here you see a woman who had been married, and 7 years into her marriage, her husband died. She's now 84. So, as I said earlier, she spent most of her life, certainly almost all of her adult life, as a widow. And instead of being caught up in what naturally she could have, she served the Lord. And what does it say she did? She served God with fasting and prayers night and day in the temple. She didn't even depart, it said. And she spoke to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And that redemption is a ransoming, a redeeming. These two people understood who Jesus was. And she was a prophetess and was a servant or a handmaiden of God. And that being in a position of having been widowed, so her natural hopes and dreams would have been put aside as she served a God she believed. And we were talking earlier, and one thing I want to bring up here is that we do not depart from evil outside of fearing God. And each of these women that we're going to read about or talk about tonight had to have feared God to have done what they did, because they departed from the natural man and its desires and were servants of God. Anna, here you see her testimony. And before we move on to Abigail, I'll open the floor to Karen and Megan. If either of you wanted to say something there.
I can't think of anything else to add on that.
You know, I don't know if we're going to get to Ruth tonight because we have 23 minutes left, but you can notice that in Ruth, her mother-in-law was also a widow. She wasn't a widow as early as Anna was, because she had two sons who had grown up and could take wives. But Naomi needed to come again to the hope and the joy of the Lord. She had lost it. Anna didn't lose it. And we don't need to either. It's really a choice. And when you recognize who God is, and that we're going to actually stand before him one day, we can depart from those things that would hold us back and be his servants even as she was. So let's move over to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And we're not going to read it. I hope others are familiar with this story, and if you're not, I hope you'll go and read it. This is, David has been anointed king, and the book of Samuel, as you read through, you can see that this is known. It's not a hidden fact. And Abigail shows up in chapter 25, where David is still living in the hills, and he and his men offer protection wherever they are to the people there. And in this particular case, Abigail's husband was a man of great wealth, and his shepherds, David's men, had kind of befriended them out in the fields, and they hadn't lost anything the whole time that David and his men were there. So the scene is set where Nabal now is shearing sheep, and David hears of this, and he sends servants, some of his men, they're not termed servants, but some of his men, to go and to greet Nabal, to bring a blessing with that greeting, and to ask for some provision, and to also give testimony that he notes the men would be able to collaborate, and that was that the service David and his men had provided them in the fields. And Nabal's answer was harsh, and he completely rejected David, knowing who David was, knowing what David had done. And David, when he hears, gets an attitude, and he's headed to go and do bodily harm to every man, from Nabal down through all of the male servants, and kill them all. Now, one of the servants, seeing what Nabal had done, runs and tells Nabal's wife, Abigail. And he gets what's happening, and Abigail gets what's happening. And as soon as she hears what's happening, she gathers together loaves of bread, figs, this whole bounty of stuff, and she sends her servants on, and she's coming behind them. And as soon as she sees David and his men, and I think there were 400 of them, armed to come and kill all of the men of Nabal's household, she lights down, she goes to David, she bows before him, and she asks, let me find where it is and we'll get Karen to read it. It is starting with verse 23.
Okay.
Of chapter 25 of 1 Samuel.
Okay. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid."
Okay, stop there for one moment. So, you know, one of the things to see here is Abigail knows who David is. She knows that he has been anointed by God himself through Samuel to be king. And she knows his, I mean, gosh, she's heard the stories about him too. She knows what kind of a man he is. She knows what he did out in the field. And she's a woman who oversees her part of this household. And she cares for her household. And she has now run to stay his hand to do harm. And I know that on, I think it was the Bible study that preceded Thanksgiving week, when the men in doing First Peter, when they came to the women's section in First Peter, Davy made a clear point that had Abigail not done this, she would have suffered the same end as her husband Nabal, whom God struck dead. And she could see what was happening, but if she had not done what was to be done, she would have suffered the same end. And what she does isn't to go and try to convince him of anything. She goes and asks that the sin that her husband committed, that iniquity, be laid upon her. And she bows down at his feet. She falls at his feet and then asks if he would hear her. So she hasn't even asked for him to forgive the iniquity yet. She just asks first that it be laid on her. So she's now going to bear the iniquity of what has been done. And now she's going to speak to David. So if you'll pick up there on verse 25.
Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid.
So that was Abigail's response. And you can see here that she knew exactly how Nabal was, and yet she served that household well, even in the midst of that difficult, what we would see as a difficult maybe position to complain and do otherwise. But when he did something that needed to be dealt with, she also had the wisdom to stand up and do it. And what she did was both beautiful in the sense that she bowed her knee and asked that that sin be upon her, but then asked that he forgive it her. And she brought a provision, asked him to receive it. She gave testimony of who he was and what the Lord was going to bring to pass in his life, because she knew it. And she gave like a remembrance of it to David, and didn't want him to have this upon his hands, the blood of innocent men. She gave testimony of why he was out in the fields. What does it say there? Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. Well, David had been running now for a matter of time because of Saul. But she asks him to remember her when he comes, what does it say here? Says,
when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid.
Yes. And that handmaid there is a bond slave or a female slave. And that is how Abigail is. We'll look at the end of her conversation here in a minute. But she believed God, and she believed the testimony of God. And so David, because of that faith and that knowledge, she knew exactly who David was. She discerned the situation exactly because, and it all stemmed from the fact that she believed God. And she was an interceder here on David's behalf, something he was thankful for. And as you may or may not know, when her husband died and David heard it, he sent to bring her to be a wife to him. And listen to what she says when he does that. And she is a woman now of means, and this is a woman of position as far as money is concerned in Israel. And look at her response to David when he, it says at the end of verse 39, and David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. So Karen, if you would read from 40
Okay.
Just 40 and 41 and 42.
And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife.
All of this seems pretty contrary. To go and be David's wife, well, gosh, I guess you could think you might do that. But how about this woman who just left a household where she was the wife to a man of much goods and much prosperity and many servants, and she says, Let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. That is a handmaiden, isn't it? A servant. A person that esteems the things of God greater than the things of the world.
And in the next verse, she hasted.
Yep.
That's another thing, is that her obedience was immediate. And her response to what the Lord would have her do was immediate.
Amen.
It doesn't seem to imply she packed up anything either. She just took the five damsels with her. You know, it's just a, obviously we don't know that, but as you said, Karen, her obedience to honor David's request was without hesitation.
And it was humble. She was a servant of God, and that service was portrayed in her actions. You know, when I read these two, because we'll look at Ruth next week, so everybody listening should read the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters. It's short. And these are women of courage. It takes courage to do what both of these women did. The virtuous woman is a woman of manly valor. And we can be of manly valor because the spirit by which we partake is a man's spirit. But, you know, valor would include courage. And you can see that these two women had the courage to serve the Lord and seek him first. And we'll see definitely with Ruth how his provision, whatever it was good. And they didn't judge it. They were thankful for it. And it didn't sway their service to him. So I hope we'll all kind of consider these women as we move through our lives and seek to do likewise. Megan?
Going back to verses 30 and 31, you see the woman, she comes to honor the man who the Lord has anointed. And she's kind of bold in her speech. And, you know, she says here, basically that she hopes he'll take, he won't come against Nabal, so that when he is ruler over Israel, this event won't be a grief to him. He won't regret the fact that he did something against Nabal that perhaps he shouldn't have, that he had shed blood causeless. And that's a right thing to have said, and he heard her.
Do you want to read his response there?
And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst tasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall."
And then David received of her hands that which
she had brought, which was what he had originally sent to her husband to request, to ask for some food.
You notice in verse 34, too, where it says, "Which, for in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee." Mm-hmm. Now, certainly to see everybody be slaughtered as she was going to see would have been a hurt. But as we know, she would have suffered the same thing. And you notice in David's testimony is the testimony that had, first of all, he says, that God had sent her,
mm-hmm.
but she went. And then she also hasted, which was needful. She met him on the way there. She did it quickly so that she could make that intercession in time and was successful. And she was bold to go tell her husband. She didn't keep it hidden from him either. She just waited till he wasn't drunk anymore. And then she went and told him. And his heart died within him. And it came to pass 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal and he died. So, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And you can see that Abigail had a fear of the Lord and was moved then to do good, which is a departing of the opposite, which would have been evil. And she was obviously a servant who was tender to the Lord and believed his word, and his word would have come through Samuel. He was the one who anointed David by God's direction, and Abigail believed, and she was moved through that belief. So there's things to think about. I hope you guys will go back and read Anna, read Abigail, and be prepared to look at Ruth next week. And we don't have Petra, so we're going to just have to say goodbye and, I guess, hang up on you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.